Hey there, welcome to a new episode of the Liberators Network podcast. My name is Christian Verwijs, and in today's episode I want to talk about why it is that the Agile community doesn't practice empiricism. Or rather, how we can improve our profession with more reliance on objective, scientific evidence and less on personal opinions. Before diving into the meat of the episode, I want to mention that this episode, along with the other ones, is made possible by our patrons. We have many patrons, I think about 700 at this point, which is completely awesome, and we're very proud of having achieved that number. Now, the patrons make it possible for us to publish these podcasts, to find the time to record them, and to create more of them. But they also make it possible for us to create all the other content that we create for the Agile community, which includes a weekly blog post about something that is useful to you, but also many do-it-yourself workshops that are available in our webshop, the meetups that we have, and also the Scrum Team survey that I'm building with Barry Overeem to bring a more evidence-based perspective to work with Scrum Teams. Now, the other point I would like to make before we start the episode is that we're always super grateful if you're willing to share a nice review of the podcast or give it a thumbs up or like it on the platforms that you're listening on. There are many podcasts out there and many of them are really good. And it's always nice for us to know that there are ways for new people to find out about our podcast. And your review or your thumbs up or your sharing it on LinkedIn is a good way to make that possible. So if you get any value out of our podcast or this particular episode, please share it and allow others to also discover it and learn about it. But having said all this, let's move into today's episode. Enjoy! Today's episode is called Why Doesn't the Agile Community Practice Empiricism? You may have noticed in recent episodes and in our blog posts as well that Barry and I have been trying to bring more scientific evidence to our discussions about Scrum and Agile teams. And there's an important reason for this. We feel that in our community, there is too much reliance on personal opinions and too little on objective scientific evidence. Now, you may wonder who cares, and that's a valid question to ask. But in today's episode, I want to explore why this is really important, why it's important that we try to use objective evidence as much as possible. And because it's too easy for us to say it's important but not do it ourselves, we first wanted to give you some examples of how we are trying to do this, how we are trying to bring scientific evidence into our conversations. So hopefully these are examples, and hopefully we can inspire you to do the same. Because we really believe that if we can bring more of this to our community and also to our clients, we can probably become more effective and more successful in our work. And ultimately, that's all we're doing, right? So let's see what we actually mean by saying that the Agile community doesn't practice empiricism. Now, let's begin with a bit of an experiment. And I've actually done this while I was recording the episode, or rather writing the blog post that is the foundation for it. Now, go to LinkedIn and open your personal feed, which is where you see all the content by people that you're following. Now, go down and find the first post that makes some claims about Agile or Scrum. You can also check out the most recent article on your favorite Agile blog, podcast, or YouTube channel. That's also fine. Now, check and read the article and check if the person making the claim also backs it up with evidence that is not based on their personal experience, their personal preference, or just their own commercial or personal interests. Now, like I said, I did this before writing this episode, and I sampled 50 recent posts from popular professional platforms. I picked many, so I picked Scrum.org, Agile Alliance, Serious Scrum, and also some others that I follow. I specifically looked for posts that made strong claims about Scrum, about Agile or specific practices. For example, I found one post that argued that SAFe is completely ineffective and merely marketing and we should just ignore it. That was the message of the post. Another post claimed that estimation of work produces less learning and takes more time. The author was very clear that work task estimation is useless. Now, I also found a post that states that Scrum Masters can't also be developers, while another argued against Jira for Scrum teams. Now, I'm not posting the precise articles that I'm referencing because I don't mean offense to the authors. Everyone's creating this content with the best of intentions, and I don't want to say that they're doing something wrong, but they are a good example of something that is happening in our community at large, and that is what this episode is all about. And I think you can do this experiment with the own content that you're seeing in your own feed, and I think you'll conclude the same. Now, if you've been part of the Agile community for a while, I think you'll probably be nodding in agreement with these statements, and I certainly did. I mean by this, by the way, the statements that say, for example, is ineffective and merely marketing, or that estimation produces less learning. All these things feel very true at the surface, and that is what makes them appealing, and that's, I think, also why many people are sharing them, applauding them, or liking them, or just sharing them with others on social media. Basically, some of these statements have become self-evident truths among practitioners. However, of the 50 posts that I sampled, only 3 provided any evidence to support their claims. One of these articles referred to opinions by other thought leaders, which is highly subjective. Another referred exclusively to the personal experience of the content creator, the person who wrote the particular blog post. Only 1 post referenced an industry report by version 1, and that's pretty remarkable when you consider that these claims have clear implications for the workplace if they're followed by readers, which I'm sure is the aim of the authors. But is it really justified and even ethically responsible for us as content creators to make such claims without being clear about the evidence that we use to base them on? My point here is not that the content creators in these cases did anything wrong individually. They merely illustrate a systemic issue in our field, and one that I am guilty of as well. I'm no exception to this. At The Liberators, we sometimes also, or maybe even often, make bold claims and suggest recommendations that are not backed up by equally strong evidence. Or worse, we don't offer evidence at all, and the same goes for many other practitioners. And I believe that this is a serious problem in our profession. Because what happens when seemingly self-evident truths are actually refuted by the facts? What if we were to find out that there is no meaningful difference between organizations that use SAFe and organizations that use some other scaling method like Less or Nexus or something of their own devising? What if SAFe actually turns out to be more effective, or more effective for certain kinds of organizations or certain kinds of products? What if we would find out that Scrum Masters that also act as product owners don't actually meaningfully affect effectiveness of teams or even make them more effective? What if teams that estimate their work are actually more effective than teams that don't, when we would measure it? Or what if it turns out to be more nuanced, where work estimation works in some contexts but not in others? And how do we know that our strong claims don't actually cause harm, financial and personal, to the teams and organizations that we're trying to help? Let's take a look at some of the statements I just made, and that are often made in content that's created and shared on social media. For example, that work estimation is bad, and that SAFe is not a good idea, and also that Scrum Masters can't also be product owners. Now, as it turns out, for each of these statements, the scientific evidence is actually not as clear-cut at all. Now, when we talk about work estimation, there is a study by Usman, Veit and Brito from 2015, where they give an overview of the benefits and the use of different estimation techniques in agile environments. And they do see some of the issues with estimation, but they also list many benefits. And they base that on research that they've done with teams, with product owners, and with the organizations where these teams work. So clearly, for some teams, work estimation is working. And maybe that's a more nuanced view of the very strong statement that work estimation is always a bad idea. Now, if we look at SAFE, there is a study by Putta, Pasivara and Lucenius in 2018 where they reviewed existing research on SAFE in 52 different organizations. And what's interesting about their study is that they summarize the challenges of SAFE, and many of those will be recognizable to people that are against SAFE in general, but they also give a lot of benefits of SAFE. For example, that it fits well within the structure of some organizations and is therefore easier to adopt than something like LESS or maybe even something like Nexus. Now, we can disagree about whether or not these are benefits, but these researchers actually interviewed people in organizations and they tried to collect objective data about how people feel about using SAFE. And there are clearly benefits, and I think that that already gives a much more nuanced view than giving a blanket statement that SAFE is always bad. Now, I was unable to find research that investigates the challenges of Scrum Masters that also act as product owners. But I do have personal experience with instances where it worked actually quite well, but I also have examples where it didn't work well. So I wouldn't be surprised if a more objective investigation of this question would actually suggest the same thing. Maybe there are situations where Scrum Masters can also be product owners, and situations where it's not a good idea. And maybe these studies can also help us understand what about these situations and about these Scrum Masters product owners makes it that it works and that it doesn't work. I think that that is a much more useful conversation to have than just saying Scrum Masters can never be product owners, period. Now, my point with these examples is not to say estimation is a great idea and SAFE is wonderful and Scrum Masters can also be product owners just fine. My point is that actual systematic attempts to investigate these issues with a scientific approach seem to offer a more nuanced perspective on these questions. But somehow this is not trickling into the discussions that we're having in our community. And I think that that's an issue. What is revealing is that the Agile community is supposedly all about empiricism. And while the kind of empiricism that happens in Agile and Scrum is arguably more about learning from experience, should we not also apply empiricism to the claims that we make about what is true? Wikipedia defines empiricism as follows. Begin quote. Empiricism emphasizes evidence, especially as discovered in experiments. It is a fundamental part of the scientific method that all hypotheses and theories must be tested against observations of the natural world, rather than resting solely on a priori reasoning, intuitions, or revelation. End quote. Empiricism allows us to develop reliable knowledge about the world and to understand the consequences of certain actions. But reliable knowledge requires reliable evidence that is proportional to the claim or the belief. Even though gut feeling, intuitions, and personal preferences have their value, they are not in themselves reliable sources of evidence. The physicist Carl Sagan summarized this as, begin quote, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence, end quote. Sagan also urges us to be skeptical of claims that lack proportional evidence and challenge those making them without such evidence. This elevates discussions away from personal opinion and into the quality of the evidence. There are far more productive discussions to be had when this tends to encourage nuanced opinions. More importantly, the presence of objective evidence also makes our field more professional, as it gives us more and stronger arguments to convince skeptics. Now, what makes good evidence? Good evidence is free from personal bias and is gathered and analyzed through unbiased methods. This means that different people can gather the same data, for example, from observations, cases, or just numeric data, and use the same methods to reach the same conclusions. This is what's called replication in the scientific method, and it's really the gold standard for how we create reliable knowledge about the natural world. I can't possibly do justice to questions surrounding this topic in this episode, which ranges from the nature of knowledge, which is called epistemology, to the nature of meaning, which is ontology, but also the limits of the scientific methods, which is a whole field of philosophy in its own right. nor can I do justice to how conclusions can be drawn from data, which includes statistics and other inductive methods. I also don't think these questions are really important for the purpose of this episode. Because the bottom line for me is that I don't expect content creators to adhere to this gold standard. I also don't expect practitioners in the field to do so. It is exceptionally difficult to gather strong objective evidence to support similarly strong claims. It also takes specialized skills to analyze data and reach conclusions in a sound way. But instead of focusing what we can't do, I think there are a couple of things that we can do in our community, and I'll give you a list of these things. A call to action. My first suggestion for content creators and practitioners would be that we should be clear about the kind of evidence we use to support our claims. So when we claim that SAFE doesn't work, we have to be explicit about the evidence we use to support that claim. The evidence could be based on the teams that you have personal experience with. It could be based on your own scientific research in hundreds of organizations. Or it could be based on studies done by others. If you're clear about your evidence, it allows for a more useful discussion about the quality of the evidence rather than the opinions themselves. The second thing we can do as practitioners and content creators is that we have to recognize the quality of the evidence compared to the strength of the claims. You can't responsibly claim that Jira destroys transparency in teams based on the handful of Scrum teams that you've worked with yourself. Such a small sample is not representative of all Scrum teams, and your experience is probably biased by your preferences or your desire to create useful, catchy content. But instead, you can always say, for example, based on my experience with 5 Scrum teams, I believe that Jira is not a good idea if you want to create transparency in teams. If you're writing an opinion piece or making some claim to your clients, make it exceptionally clear that it is your opinion and not necessarily the truth. The third thing we can do in our community as practitioners and content creators is be explicit about our own biases. We should consider and be clear about what may have biased our claims and the evidence we use. It is often very easy to only look and find evidence that supports your claim, which is called confirmation bias. We often also extrapolate a few observations to everyone else, which is called a base rate bias. We may also have a stake in some opinions, because a catchy and strong opinion draws in more readers on social media. The fourth thing we can do is that we should connect the professional world with the academic world where we can. It's really surprising that there is a ton of useful academic research that's going on in organizations that practice Agile. If you go to Google Scholar and you enter Agile or Scrum and you provide a more specific keyword, you will actually find dozens of academic publications about product ownership, risk management, scaling efforts, coding practices, and so on. But unfortunately, very few people in our community seem to even read these articles or try to include them in the points they're trying to make. And sometimes these studies will support your beliefs. They will show that a certain practice is not very useful. But at least it gives you more solid evidence, and you can actually show the evidence that you're using to make your claim. Now, there are two more things we can do. The first one is that we should recognize that hearsay is not evidence. What someone else says is not evidence in its own right, regardless of how true it may sound, or how much authority the person saying it seems to have. This is something we often call truthiness, or the idea that something sounds very true, even if it doesn't match with the facts at all. There is a lot of truthiness and groupthink going on social media in general. And that brings me to the final thing that I think we can do as content creators and practitioners. In general, we should be skeptical of all strong claims. We should be skeptical of the claims made and the evidence presented to support those claims. If a creator or practitioner isn't specific about it, we should challenge them to present it. If the quality of the evidence doesn't support the claim, challenge the creator. And that brings me to some closing words. I will be the first to admit that my content and the content that we create for the Liberators doesn't follow these principles nearly as often as it should. You can challenge me and Barry on that just fine. We're open to this. Absolutely do it. My point with this episode is not to argue that all professional content should present very strong, objective, scientific-level evidence. There is always a place for opinion pieces, for strong opinions and conversations, and column-like discussion pieces. But are we truly a professional community when most of the content seems to be of this nature, and nothing or very little of the content actually tries to use scientific evidence? My point is that we should seek out objective evidence to support or reject our claims and beliefs where we can. We should also be more transparent about what kind of evidence we use to make our claims. And we should challenge strong claims that are made without strong evidence, especially when they come from highly visible thought leaders or self-proclaimed gurus or influencers. This group in particular bears a significant professional responsibility to present their evidence transparently. Because the beliefs that they express and the opinions that they have will impact other people. That's the whole reason why they're an influencer. And if as an influencer you're saying things that you believe are true but are not actually true, you are actually harming the profession. You're harming teams and you're harming organizations potentially. And I think that that's something that we should always aim to prevent. I dream of an agile community where practitioners work together to clarify beliefs they have and then investigate evidence, which can involve linking existing research, collecting your own data, or do case studies to either confirm or reject those beliefs based on what they find. Others can replicate this or build on it. But since we're not scientists, we can build bridges with academics to do the science stuff with us. I believe that such a process would offer more nuance and provide a stronger grounding for our work with clients. Wouldn't this be a wonderful way to improve our profession together? Wouldn't that be a great way to apply actual empiricism to our work with agile teams? And that brings me to the end of today's episode. I hope you learned something new about how we can use evidence to support our claims, but also the limitations of the kinds of claims that we can make usually in our practice. Now, if you like today's episode, please review it or give it a star or a positive comment or even share it on LinkedIn or other platforms, which makes it easier for other people to discover this podcast as well. But most importantly, I want to thank you for taking time to listen to this, to take time out of a busy day to learn something new, which is awesome. And I hope to see you again for our next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.